thanks everyone for coming today. Today I'd like to talk about CollectSmart, how we developed it and what it can be used for. CollectSmart is the survey management and response tools. I'm just going to jump right in. I have no financial relationships to disclose. This is a free product that we've developed and we'll be distributing. I work at the North Carolina Institute for Public Health, and we serve as the bridge between academics and public practice in the state. We've been around since 1999, and really we provide training, research, and technical assistance to various agencies throughout the state. I'm not going to go over these learning objectives again. These are the same ones that were in the abstract, but hopefully by the end you will be more informed about how you can use CollectSmart possibly for a project and the steps that we had to take to develop it. So the statement of need here is just kind of a way to frame why we did the work that we did. And routinely we get requests from our local partners that they need high quality data, they need current data, but they might not have the capacity to go out and collect it themselves. They might not quite know the best way to go about getting it, how to collect it, and then in turn how to analyze it. So with one way to go about collecting this data, one way to kind of tackle this approach of, or this problem of, you know, how do we get the data that we need, is something called CASPER. And this is what the CDC defines as the Community Assessment for Public Health Emergency Response. It's also a rapid needs assessment, you may have heard it referred to as. And really it's, as their definition states down there, a set of tools to rapidly determine the health needs of an area after a disaster. It's basically a special sampling method coupled with door-to-door interviews of households, with the goal being that it's easy to implement and can provide actionable data to decision makers within a couple days. So you collect a relatively small amount of surveys, determine where you need to go through cluster sampling, and it can be processed. You know, teams of 10 go out in 2 days, go door to door, ask a series of questions, and then at the end you have a report that can be given to decision makers to prioritize where to send resources after a disaster. So that's what CASPER was originally designed for, but it's pretty versatile. It can also be used ahead of a disaster to determine what the community preparedness needs are, how prepared a community might be. And it's very well suited for routine data collection. So in North Carolina, we use this CASPER method routinely for community health needs assessments. North Carolina health departments are required every 3 to 4 years to conduct a community health assessment as part of being accredited. Hospitals now, not-for-profit hospitals, also have to conduct these community health needs assessments every 3 years as part of the Affordable Care Act to justify that they are not-for-profit, that they're serving their community. And so this is the main use that we have used CASPER in the past couple years. But it can also be used for other projects, basically anything you'd like to gauge public opinions on. So the image on the right there shows the 10-mile emergency planning zone around a nuclear power plant in North Carolina. The State Division of Public Health came to us and wanted us to figure out, well, how widespread is potassium iodide? This is a simple medication that can be taken that would block the uptake of radioactive iodine and radioactive fallout after a disaster. And they wanted to know, well, do people have potassium iodide? What's their knowledge of how to take the medication? And so we use CASPER in that sense to define our sampling frame, to determine which households to go to talk to. And in the end, we determined that not a lot of the population had this free potassium iodide, and maybe the messaging and the distribution systems needed to be changed up a little bit. So in North Carolina, there's a history going back to using this rapid needs assessment framework back to 2004 with something called the Rapid Response Project. And this was a project which provided GPS equipment, GIS software, and training with the goal to integrate GIS into the preparedness planning. A handful of health departments were given this training, given the equipment, and really taught how to use this versatile sampling method to prepare for disasters, but then also to respond after disasters. Substantial state and federal preparedness budget cuts resulted shortly after. And the equipment that they bought, you know, you can see we use these massive handheld GPS units, sometimes other like Palm Pilot type equipment. You know, that equipment aged, the software kind of sat on the shelf, people didn't really use it. But it was it's kind of one of the reasons why this method was used so widely in North Carolina. As a follow-up to this, in 2003 to 2010, we did an interview of all the health departments that received this training. We implemented a survey, talked to about 50 of the 85 health departments, and just to determine what was the long-lasting effect of this project. By and large, health departments understood the use of the method, the CASPER method. They felt like they were very likely to use CASPER in the future to determine the health needs of their community or to use it for these health assessments. But they cited a lack of training, equipment, technical assistance, and software as barriers to implement an additional CASPER. So at our Institute for Public Health, you know, we routinely received requests to help people with the sampling method. So people would contact us and say we'd like to go out maybe for a health assessment or maybe to do a preparedness survey. But we don't have enough staff to support the entire state. And with additional funding cuts on the horizon, this is where we decided to kind of take the leap and to develop something that would empower the local health departments and others to conduct this work without the extensive training, without the expensive GPS equipment. And so that's where we came up with CollectSmart. And CollectSmart kind of begins to overcome some of these barriers with the lack of sampling expertise and software. So CollectSmart allows you to automatically do some cluster sampling online. The lack of statistical mapping software, we started out with EpiInfo was our kind of our base that we built the platform off of because CDC's EpiInfo is free, open source, and it's a nice package that's already out there that people are familiar with. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel. So EpiInfo provides that statistical analysis side. CollectSmart allows some of the mapping. And then the final barrier was just the not having that data collection software and hardware. So building an app is a little more lightweight than some of these other applications that were GPS-based, and it's deployable to any Android-based tablet or smartphone. Okay, so what is CollectSmart really? So first and foremost, it's a survey management system. So there's two main components. There's a website that allows the project manager to determine where they're going to sample. And then there's the app side that the sample can get pushed out to. People can go door to door, collect those responses digitally. Those responses get automatically uploaded back to a central system where the project manager can monitor the results as they come in, and also monitor where the teams are in the field using that project dashboard in the upper right-hand corner. The project management tools are, as I said, web-based. It does allow some site selection using census data nationwide. it does some lightweight real-time frequency analysis, so you can see the results as they're coming in. And it's mapping where your surveyors are while you're out in the field. So you can, if you need to, redirect them to the proper location, or it's just a good safety mechanism. You can keep track of where your teams are. All of the results are uploaded to a cloud-based database, and that is an extra backup of the results. As an example of what the site selection tool looks like and how it works, up on the screen, essentially, we're going to be conducting a survey, let's say, in Durham County. You select your state, you select your county. You can determine how many clusters you'd like to select in your county. Usually, a typical CASPER is a 30 by 7, so 30 clusters or neighborhoods and 7 locations within each neighborhood. So I said it's a relatively small number of surveys. It's usually around 200 that you need to get. And then there's some other options down there to refine the sampling slightly if you need to. So you can require a minimum number of housing units to be included in the sample. You can use blocks or block groups. So those are two different neighborhood sizes, essentially, two different types of census data. And currently, the block groups function nationwide. The blocks we are functional in North Carolina and Texas only. So as an example of the project dashboard up here, you have a way to map all your point locations where the surveys are taking place, keep track of how many surveys are being conducted within each cluster. You can see the survey responses down here in the analysis widget. And then you can quickly zoom to where the different surveyors are, as well as where the different points are. And it's all built on Google Maps, so it's easy for most people to recognize. So that's the project management side of things. The other side of things is the user. What does the user see? So when the teams are out collecting interviews, like I said, we built this on top of EpiInfo. So EpiInfo has a mobile version currently, so you could go out and collect your responses digitally. What EpiInfo doesn't have is this mapping portion, and so that's what we built. We built a way for it to take the spatial data that we created, the sample that we've determined, the clusters and the points, display that on a map, and integrate that with the existing digital form, which EpiInfo currently does. So with the desktop version of EpiInfo, which again is free and open source, you can create your questionnaires and analyze your results, upload that questionnaire that you created to CollectSmart. It is currently only Android-based, so we're still fairly beta. We're on a limited release. We are applying for funds to put it on iOS. The other main function that the app allows you to do is to navigate to these pre-selected sites. And importantly, it has offline capability. So a lot of the places we go in North Carolina are rural, and I'm sure you're familiar with dead areas that do not have data coverage. So the app functions both with connectivity and without. An important thing to note, too, is that although we built CollectSmart with CASPER in mind, it doesn't just have to be a CASPER. So if you have a convenience sample, if you wanted to go stand out in the concourse here and just interview random people as they walk by, you could use CollectSmart for that function. If you wanted to do a simple random sample, if you had your own spatial data, maybe you don't want to do these clusters and points, maybe you have a set of 100 addresses pre-selected. If you have that type of information, you can upload that to CollectSmart. So there's really lots of different possibilities. Another key component of CollectSmart are the training materials that were developed. And so we have a lengthy project manager's user guide, a quick start guide, which we developed after we did some piloting and realized that was a need. Some just-in-time training that we recommend before you send teams out in the field. and some train-the-trainer models modules, which are under development. So the initial concept for this came about in 2013. We pilot tested it for a couple years now. Over 1,700 interviews have been conducted and analyzed with the system. And we did it in an iterative process. So three different phases. Each phase we did evaluations of the users, asked them, you know, what would you like to see, what's missing, what can make it easier to use, integrated that feedback into the next phase of development. And importantly, we also touch base with the project managers. And for that one, we have some contacts in Texas who routinely do CASPERs, got their feedback as well to kind of guide and build the system to fit everybody's needs. A couple data collection projects I want to highlight in North Carolina and Kansas. In Chatham County, this was a rural county in North Carolina. This was one of our first case of kind of setting project managers out on their own to say, here is the software, here's some training. We went through eight webinars with them kind of remotely just to kind of test out the training materials to see what they needed to know exactly to run a CASPER by themselves. And they used borrowed our tablets and completed about 190 interviews with 25 teams over 6 days. And these tools enabled them to quickly train and field their teams to locate the houses which had been identified ahead of time, and importantly coordinate that data collection across a fairly rural county. More recently in Kansas, a epidemiologist there approached us and asked us if she could use the system to conduct some community health assessments. They were very ambitious, tried to take on three different community health assessments back to back to back. So they did one in the entire county, one which was the local hospital catchment area, and then one which concentrated just in high poverty zip codes. So that process is ongoing for them. They're still interviewing. They've collected 289 so far. And the evaluation data that we gather from that will be integrated into the next phase of development. A couple lessons learned from them. What they found very useful were to send out direct mailings. So they had identified these households where the interviews would take place ahead of time, and they had the budget and the know-how to go ahead and send postcards out to those people to say, hey, we have people on the way who will be conducting an interview. So it kind of lays the groundwork for when the teams do actually go out there. It does help tremendously. They also emailed the homeowners associations and did some social media work and made sure the press releases were widespread. The other thing they learned was to really know your limits. So they bit off a little bit more than they could chew. And they weren't able to field 10 teams a day, but that is an important thing if you do take this work on, is to understand that volunteer recruitment to do the door-to-door work, because most of you all probably don't have staff that could send out 20 people at a time, so we rely on volunteers to make sure you get the staffing set up correctly. Scheduling conflicts, probably impossible to predict at the time when they were doing this that the Kansas City Royals would be in the World Series, but they ran into problems with that too, of people saying, can't talk right now, it's the game's on. So you run into that a lot. So I'm running out of time, so I'm going to skip on to the end here. So we are still in a beta. We have a lot of things that we'd like to develop. If you would like to provide any type of feedback or get involved, there's that website up there. It's just a form that you could put your name and email in, or feel free to contact me afterwards, and I can send you the information that it takes to get started with it. That one's gonna end there. Thanks.